Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and the readings are taken from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34, and Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. The talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled How to Combat Anxiety.
The reading this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus now turns his attention to worry and anxiety, which is a very relevant thing for our age. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your own life? And why worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Here are some words from the closing exhortations in Paul's letter to the Philippians. We're used to the traditional words in this section, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. But some of the traditional translations are a bit flat after that. So let's listen to how it's unpacked and explained in the message. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Martin. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for knowing that you are present in all our difficulties and troubles. Pray that through the words of Jesus, we will be encouraged to live a life of trust and faithfulness. Amen. So I'm going to talk about something that affects all of us. Just this week, most probably, we had our share of maybe worries, maybe our share of anxieties. And I need to be quite sensitive today because maybe for some of you, being in an anxious place is very real and very challenging at the moment. So how do we make sense when Jesus used quite a strong command to say, don't worry? I do hope that by unpacking what he says, by unpacking a little bit what Paul says about what to do with our worries and our anxieties, you will be encouraged, not discouraged, build up, and that you will feel in a different place after this morning. So in Western society, worry and anxiety describe one of the most common problems of our modern time. Anxiety has been described as following. It's been called the official emotion of our age, the basis of all neurosis, the most pervasive psychological phenomenon of our time. So it's something we all experience. At different stages of life, maybe we experience very strongly, and it can be very, it can grip our whole life and put us in a very bad place. According to a study made in America, some 70% of teens across all genders, races, and family income level say that anxiety and depression are significant problems among their peers. Not that they might experience, but it's something they talk about most of the time. And if you know a little bit about different generation, we call Generation Z, which is the generation of my own children, those born between 1997 and 2012, are growing in an increased society of stress and anxiety. That's what my children kind of experience. I'm sure if we go to a different generation, those who went through the war, they will have their most probably own areas of stress. But just to name a few, constant hearing about global warming, pressures of schools, the pandemic they had to go through, the bleak prospects of the economy, the constant negative news that I never had to face, that comes your way through your phone and through your tablet, the pressures of social media. So how relevant is Jesus' message? How relevant is his command not to worry? Three times he says in this passage, do not worry. First he says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. Second, he says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And finally, he says, do not worry about tomorrow. And so, although the context here for Jesus is worry about material things, about food and drink and protection, his teaching, of course, has wider application. And in our other passage, we hear Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but at all time, bring those anxieties into prayer. I like the translation that Martin says. Use those worries, that energy, to come into prayer, to come into a conversation with God where you can, through prayer, petitions, and thanksgiving, bring them to God. So the truth is that no one lives worry-free. If you do, if you find a solution, please do come after the service and tell me. Or maybe one did live free of worry, maybe Jesus. He didn't live free of troubles and challenges, but his relationship with the Father was so close that maybe worries was not part of his emotions. I don't know. So today, well, you've heard the Bank of England have raised their interest rate to 5%, so a lot of people are worried, and rightly so, about their mortgage, how they're going to pay. Cost of living is still very high. Some may face unemployment, salaries that doesn't keep up with inflation, redundancies, harsh reality of bills, debt, mortgages. Some might face difficult relationships, broken relationships that bring all kind of anxieties and stresses. There is also the stress of being single or lonely. There is the worry about health and old age and death. Worries and anxieties can affect our physical and our mental health and can take years off a person's life. Those are realities. So Jesus first never promised a stress-free life. That's not the Christian life. Even at the end, he says, "No, do not worry about tomorrow, because each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus himself had to face many worries. He faced the day-to-day pressures of living. He had no regular income when he was doing his 3 years ministry. He was constantly on the move. He knew what it felt to lose a dear friend. He experienced the pressures of being misunderstood, threatened. He's been treated unfairly. He knew temptation, sufferings, and rejection. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "Don't worry, bring your worries into prayers," wrote this to the Corinthians, the Christians, says, "I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I've been beaten with rod. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked," and go on and on and on. And yet he writes to the Philippians Christians, "Do not worry. Do not be anxious." So first, what does Jesus here says? Well, he says first, worry is illogical. Think about it. God is the source of your body. He's given that to you. It's a gift. And since he has given you the body, he also knows how to maintain it. And so Jesus then look after two examples. He says, look at the birds. They're kept alive by food provided by nature. How much more important you are. He cares for you. He feeds the birds. No, they have to work for it. They're quite busy through the day, but the food is there. They don't worry about not finding the food, although maybe in wintertime might be a bit of a worry. But my reflection says, even if me, as a human being, with all my flaws and fallenness, I have compassion on the birds when they come in my garden, I feed them, how much more God, who is my Father? So this is not about not working, it's just going to happen. No, we have to do our bit, but it's about not worrying. Or then he continues, what about clothes? What about God able to not just to make sure your body is sustained, but your body is protected? That's what the body needs to protection and being clothed happens. He said, well, look at the flowers in the field. In that sense, they don't work very much. They just grow. They're fed by the things in the ground and by water from the rain. But even Solomon, who was the richest person in the whole world at his time, Even his splendor was nothing compared to the beauty of flowers. So Jesus used a kind of a hyperbole comparison to make a point. God is generous. God is powerful. He can look after our needs. Since God gives such attention to the appearances of white flower, most of which are never even seen, don't you think that he will attend to you? Says the message, that translation that Martin says. Take pride in you, do his best for you. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Not to be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving, to God's action in your lives. And third, Jesus reminds us that not only is he logical, and not only takes away who God really is, but worry is a complete waste of time. He said it's futile and productive and pointless. Worry cannot add anything. Cannot add 1 hour to your whole life. Actually, worry does only one thing. It subtracts. It steals. It steals health and time. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, Jesus says. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is a quote for Corinthian Bone. You might have read it before. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. But that doesn't mean we don't need to plan for the future and for tomorrow and next week and next month. But concentrate on what you can do today and don't worry about what will happen tomorrow. Do your bit today. Otherwise, you will carry 2 or 3 or more days at once, and it will empty your day of strength to face the troubles that are enough for today. Again, in a Message translation, he says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, today. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Winston Churchill says the following. He says, the truth is actually most of our worries never happen. He says, when I look back at all these worries, I remember the story of an old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened. Most of which never happened. So we can trust God. That's the message of Jesus. We can grow in our trust in God's provision and in God's priorities. And that's the positive side. Jesus 3 times says, do not. But then he says, do something else in return. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom is kind of submitting ourselves to God's sovereignty here and now, being obedient to his still voice. And the righteousness is not the righteousness we receive by faith. It's more the kind of the practical life, the outworking of our faith, day by day, reflecting God's intentions in our lives, in our situations, in our families, at work, with our neighbors, in our community. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't say what we shall eat or drink or wear. You use the word. This is what the Gentiles do. In the time of Jesus, you had the Jews who were supposed to know God. They had received the revelations, the Torah, the law, the whole history of God with them. And then there was the rest, or the Gentiles, the Romans and the Greeks. And they had all kind of misconceptions about the world, and creation and the creator. They had many gods or many philosophies. And so gentiles today, we could say, is anyone who have kind of grown into a false ideology or defective worldviews, where God, a maker, a creator, a God who's present, who cares, doesn't feature. And of course, when we think that, then there is no one to care. There is no personal active maker there to walk with us. And so maybe the survivors is the survivors of the fittest, the cleverest, the one who can get on top, the one who works harder, the one who maybe finds a loop in the system, the one who maybe abuse the generosity, the honest work of others. And we talked this morning about we all live in this very material world where very much of what our identity is built is on the marks of success. The definition of someone's worth is, I am because I'm able to shop. I'm able to acquire all those goods. It marks someone's identity and position in the world. You are liked, approved, important because you can afford, or because you have, or because you can talk about the holidays you've been to. You can compare and see I'm a little bit better there. One way to see sometimes that kind of competition is to compare each other's garden. You do a little bit of work in your garden, and all of a sudden, your neighbor does the kind of same work, but a little bit better. There's no problem with our gardens, you know, to make it better than us. It's no issue, so there's no pressure on my neighbors. But wanting more, wanting better, wanting newer, just a little bit more than the one next door. Just a little better car. But all that brings all kind of anxieties and stresses. It's tiring to live that life of comparing one another, of wanting more, of wanting the new thing, of thinking, oh, what people will think about me. I need to show something about my career, my car, my holidays, my clothes, my circle of friends, my numbers of followers. Jesus says, no, seek first. Seek first his ruling. Seek first his desire in your life. Seek first to express his intention. And all those things that you need to do that will be given. Don't worry. What a message of freedom. What a message of freedom. And this is what Paul tries to say. Change your thinking when he says, you know, don't worry or stop worrying. I think I have it somewhere there. Yeah. Do not be anxious about anything. But I like the translation. Use your worries or, you know, to move into prayer. That's what I did. I've kind of colored. And I think to kind of round up the talk, maybe an assignment for you is to look at this passage. You will find it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 46, and to read it through the week. And why not maybe learn it by heart and maybe take the message version if you feel it speaks more to you. But there are things we can put into practice, a discipline, so that our thinking and our hearts will be protected from worries that are destructive. It's not that we will stop worrying, stop being anxious, but we will learn a process where we bring those, what Paul says, every situation in your prayer, in sharing that with God. Sometimes doing petition, that's like intense request. Sometimes it's hard, a real trouble that you're going through, but you bring that in prayer. And as you start learning to see that God is real, actually, things happen, you grow into being thankful. You realize God is not a distant God. He's a present God. And by praying, by talking to him, by bringing my worries and anxieties, he comes. And what it says here, that passage, it guards your heart and your mind. That's what happens when we learn to, throughout the day, pray, talk to God. It will guard our hearts and our minds so that they will be less prone to anxiety and worries. Another way is to fill our minds with good things, and you have a whole list there. To think about such things, Paul will say, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. But also put into practice what you know you've learned from other Christians. Put that into practice. What you've seen, what you've heard, what you have learned from some other people, the way of living the Christian life. And yes, do learn to rejoice. Do learn to be grateful. So how to take this further? Well, I thought just maybe a gentle prayer. And if some of you find this is just too hard because I'm a really dark place, well, sometimes the prayer for others can lift things up. And we will have prayer ministry after the service. And maybe there is this mountain that you said, you know, I've tried everything, I can't. Well, other people can pray with you and support you. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you promise to be with us always. Help us as a community and individually to keep on praying, to keep on trusting you, to keep on following you, Jesus, and putting into practice what we've learned and heard. To keep on worshiping and praising, knowing that you are a good Father, that you are faithful, that you are merciful, and that you are good and patient. So fill us afresh, Lord, with your sense of presence, and if we're way forward, that we will be a little bit less anxious and a little bit less worried today and in a week to come. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.